Hello, what's up everybody? Jack Farr here from Farr's Views podcast on Thursday the 16th of October, episode 16. I'm coming at you hot after a week's absence and the international break, which hosted a hell of a lot of 0-0 games, especially if you're an England supporter. Just a quick shout out to a YouTube channel called King James, if you search that in under the channel names. It's a friend of mine from here at UCFB called James McAndroyler. The host of his newest show is Off Topic, which features yours truly. Hello, James. Welcome.
What's up, guys?
Do you want to just introduce yourself, throw your social media out there, let the people know?
Cool. My name is James McAndroyler. My social media is JimmyMac at 97 on Instagram. I don't really have Twitter and Snapchat. We'll keep that private for now, only for the women. Next one.
So, first off, just purely in light of the World Cup teams being finalised, I just want to quickly run through a couple of World Cup power rankings, just contrast and compare where we stand and just kind of generally let the conversation flow.
Yeah.
Naturally, I appreciate we're not going to be doing the power rankings from team 32 to 1.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the top 10. So what I wanted to do, I just wanted to go through your whole list.
Yeah.
And anything I find crazy in that list, I'll ask you a couple questions, then we'll flip it. I'll do mine, you ask me a couple of questions, so on. So who's your number 10 in your World Cup power rankings?
First of all,
And then a bit of a breakdown.
First of all, I looked at it right now and I could easily went for 1 to 10 and just picked me the 10 strongest teams. But number 10, I went for a dark horse. There was a couple that I could have brought in there. I put 3 there, but I'm not really sure right now. But in my dark horse for my number 10, because I am Nigerian and the fantastic win we had against Argentina, I do believe Nigeria is one of the African teams who can do something in the World Cup and definitely affect it. I'm not going to say, we're going to win it, but I do believe that we are one of the strongest teams in the competition. Next one is Senegal and Croatia. Out of all them teams, Croatia would appeal to more people. Because
So you got Senegal, Croatia, and Nigeria as kind of a three?
Yeah, for 10. I wasn't really sure who was.
If I held a gun to your head, would it be Nigeria?
Pardon?
If I held a gun to your head and said pick one, would it be Nigeria?
Would it be Nigeria? No.
No, okay. I'll let you go.
I'm being honest, yeah. But when I looked at the whole thing and just looked at the way we have so many young players there, a lot of youth, John Mikel Obi, who's won the Champions League with Chelsea, who's been around the block, been there for a long time, Alex Iwobi, who Wenger seems to love, and starts all big games,
international level player.
True. And also did score 2 against Argentina. Ian Nacho, Victor Moses, Musa, the list goes on and on, mm-hmm. And Yamin Gold. There's a strong bunch of players there who I believe can definitely show the world what they're all about, when the World Cup rolls around.
Okay. So Nigeria in that list doesn't make my top 10 at all.
Yeah.
You've got one team that does. Obviously, I'll reveal that a little later on. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, it's difficult to disagree with some of your points there.
Yeah.
And a couple of mine, like you say, you don't post a top 10 like this with total confidence. Most mm-hmm. of the time, you're confident on like maybe 4 or 5, but the rest you kind of go, I guess, based on talent or whatever.
I looked at it and I think there was obvious ones there that you could easily put in, but it just depends where they were. But I looked at it and I said, where at a dark horse? I looked at all the teams. Look, Mexico, I thought they were really poor in the Confederations Cup. Who else was there? In the Asian side, Japan. Not too many of them appealed to me. Then I looked at the African side, I seen what was the strongest team in Africa. I felt Nigeria and Senegal, in my opinion, were the two strongest
teams.
Maybe Egypt too, because they do dominate in the African nation.
I think 7 to 10 is pretty open for choice.
So
I'll tell you what, we'll just do back and forth. So my number 10 is England.
England.
England is my number 10.
Okay.
So, and my reasoning behind that, I don't want to go into it too much. I've talked quite a lot about England in previous kind of episodes of the podcast, and I've just kind of gone on a bit of a tactical breakdown, what my team would be, etc. I look at the ability in the squad, and I look at the way that it could go, and I see potentially a quarterfinal team going out in the semis, maybe, if they play to the real top that they can, and Harry Kane starts playing well, and the defence is solid, and all this kind of stuff. But I look at it in terms of looking at all the teams available. I think that England will still go out in the first knockout stage after the group stage. as they do usually, will probably get a tough draw.
Hopefully you make it out of the group stage for it, because last time,
let's hope so.
It wasn't great last time.
But obviously the joke with me is, of course, my I've got American blood in me, and the past few World Cups I've been able to ditch England when they've played shit and jump on the America bandwagon. Not I don't have that luxury this year.
This year, so it's England all the way.
But I got them in 10th. Are England in your top 10?
England are in my top 10. They're actually a lot higher than 10. That's why I was a bit surprised. Like, who else is in there?
Well, that's my reasoning for it. I think the quality is there or thereabouts. I just don't think it will be used in the right way, for reasons that we've talked about on Off Topic, which of course you should go check out on YouTube. But also, I've mentioned it in other podcasts. I just don't think it will be used properly.
I see.
But anyway, so who's your number 9?
My number 9 is Colombia.
Okay.
I felt in the last World Cup, they were just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Fantastic, the way they were playing. And this year, they qualified with ease. They made Argentina look a bit soft. They qualified with ease. As I said, obviously, James Rodriguez there, Cuadrado. Well, not biggest fan of him. I'm not going to say, yeah. But again, David Ospina, they have a strong team, and they were fantastic last time. So, for me, I think that they're going to make a big splash. I'm not going to say that they're going to win it, but if we're looking at a power ranking, I do believe that they're definitely a team that you want to avoid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, again, I think in this, like I say, I think in 7 to 10, because I haven't looked at yours, and you haven't looked at mine. I think our top 6 are going to be the same. I think the order will be different, but I think our top 6 will be the same.
Yeah.
But it's that 7 to 10... which is just a bit ropey. Colombia aren't in my top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, again, I don't doubt that in that team, Falcao, James Rodriguez, Juan Cuadrado. They're solid across the board.
I love that Falcao.
So there's some real players knocking around for some really good teams as well. You've got the defense for me is where it drops off.
Yeah.
And that's actually a little bit of a theme in a couple of my other picks. We've spoken about it before. You can have the best attackers you like, and we'll get on to two teams, I'm sure, who have really, really good attacks, but then it's elsewhere in the field that's
down. One thing about it, I think I left out one team and I wasn't sure about them.
Okay.
But
no, for free.
I'm gonna let you go on. And I wanna see if you have them in there.
All right. Okay. So you can kind of touch on them.
Like, why are they not in there?
Okay. So yeah, I don't have them in there. But yeah, again, I'm not gonna dispute it too much with you. On a different day, in a different patch of form, they'd be in my top 10. So I can't argue with that. So at number 9, I have Croatia. So I know you had them lingering in and around 10th. The difference between you putting them in 10th, 11th or 12th and me putting them 9th is next to nothing.
I did say that they were in my top, because out of all the teams, as much as I felt Croatia were going to challenge them all. Again, we just look at the quality of the players.
Yep, I've got them written down. I'm about to go through it. They have, my little kind of tidbit for this is that they've got sneaky talent across the entire field.
Exactly.
So they've got I'm going to mess this pronunciation up, Vasalko, the right back for Atletico Madrid. Dejan Lovren, who, as I've said in previous podcasts, I still rate is the tactical system that makes him look bad. Dejan Lovren, Ivan Perisic, baller, Rakitic, Barcelona, Modric, best central midfielder in the world, Brozovic, Inter Milan, Rog for Napoli. Yeah. I haven't seen him play a lot, but you play for Napoli, how well they're doing. And then in the striking position is the one that I think everybody, because everyone talks with Croatia about their midfield, and rightly so. Brozovic, Modric, Rakitic, Perisic, across the board, it's quality. But then up front, Mandzukic, Kalinic, Kramaric, and Ante Rebic as well. So I think across the board, people underestimate the talent they got there. And usually a Croatia team is a couple of stars dotted in and around of some more average players. I feel like what's happened is their young up-and-comers have moved to bigger teams and really established themselves, and now they're really rolling. They can make a difference.
For me, I look at Croatia and I just see a fantastic team. The reason why they're not higher on my list is because I always feel like they just failed. They always underperform. I thought the one time that they did perform to level was Euro 2008. Mm-hmm. I thought You remember that year? Exactly. The Turkey game where they scored a last minute winner. Turkey ended up getting an equaliser and winning on penalties.
Yeah.
The 2010 World Cup that they failed to qualify. I can't remember how well that they did in Euros. I'm not even sure they qualified for the Euros in 2012.
I'm not sure.
2014, they failed to qualify again.
Yeah.
And they lost out to Portugal in the what's called in 2016 Euros.
Euros.
So
yeah.
The only thing is that they're consistent. They're such a good team, but the consistency level is just not there. But
yeah.
When you go from 1 to 11, it's a brilliant side.
Yeah, like we've said, we're not going to have a lot of disagreements around these numbers. So so that's me for Croatia. Like I said, it's that kind of thing where there's a couple of names in there. I'm looking at Brozovic as a good example, but Vasako is a good example. Rog is a good example. Kalinic, Kramaric are good examples. They're players that if you were naming Croatian players, you're not going to bring those names up.
Mm-hmm.
But these are players playing for Napoli, Inter Milan. Across the board, good players. Go ahead.
Definitely not average players.
No.
Because if you're playing the top team, you're playing top team for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And they qualified for a reason. Exactly. But so who have you got at number eight?
Number eight? At England, I remember.
Okay.
That's why I chuckled.
Okay.
Why is
yours higher than Croatia and Colombia, Nigeria? What have they got there?
Personally, I just looked at the England team and as much as they failed, so they always underperform. I can't doubt the talent is there.
Right.
And you have to look at this right there. When you make a list, is the team better than who you go up against? Do I look at England? Is England better than Croatia? I agree. Is England better than Colombia? I agree. So it isn't for me. It isn't things that England are.
So purely from a head-to-head point of view.
Yeah, purely from a head-to-head point. But I'm not gonna say England will get there. We just don't know what's gonna happen with England. They could do a Gaza and make it to the semi-final, and Harry Kane would be caught crying or something. Exactly. You know, Dele Alli has a great one. Jack Wilshere comes back, and you know this and that.
Yeah.
But for me, as much as everyone says this and that about England, they are a top 10 side.
Yeah.
You know that they are a top
10 side. I've got them in 10s. Like I say, technically that makes them a top 10 mm-hmm. side. I can't really disagree with that too much. I would still bet on Croatia to beat England. That would be my only disagreement.
Oh, okay.
But like I say, you know, it's within those kind of areas. Like, mm-hmm. like I say, the 7 to 10 is, it's much the same in there. So moving on to...
who's your number 8?
My number 8 is, so moving on to my number 8, I've got Uruguay.
That was the team that I felt that I left out.
Are they not in your top 10?
And then when I think about it now, why they're not in my top 10?
You feel free to make changes if you want.
In fairness, I might put them ahead of Colombia because I realise...
Okay. So are Colombia just straight up going out?
I might have to take all them teams out and put Uruguay in there, because when I look at it right now, you have Luis Suarez, you have Edison Cavani, so many top players.
So you got, so you're gonna do, so Colombia moved to 10th and Uruguay's coming to 9th, is that what you're gonna do?
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
all right,
yes,
cool.
Yes,
so quick update on the power rankings. I'm still sticking with Uruguay at 8th. My little mm-hmm. tidbits for them are, it's a poor man's Argentina.
It's a poor man's.
And I mean that with, that's not a diss, because if you look at Argentina's attack and you're still even compared to them, that's said quite a lot. You've mentioned it, Cavani, Suarez. It's ridiculous. The strength in attack is unreal. The only reason why I don't have them as high is the midfield that really lets them down. There's still some decent players. And the thing is, I think that in a very sneaky kind of way, they've got a really good defence.
Exactly.
But in Muslera in goal, it's a letdown. And in midfield, which is links to the attack, it's a letdown.
But I look at it with them is that no one really knows in midfield, but they know that they can defend. Like, I think basically every
Jimenez,
man...
Jimenez, Godin, Mauricio Lemos.
Thank you.
They got some players.
They can defend.
Yeah.
It's been like that for a time with them. Good defenders, but going forward,
transition.
There was a time when they had Cavani, Suarez, and Diego Forlan going forward,
mm-hmm.
and now Cavani and Suarez don't
still,
come.
Yeah.
It's still fantastic.
Cavani, arguably in the form of his life. He's rediscovering Napoli form for me, and that is dangerous. If you're PSG,
he's even outperforming Neymar to an instinct because he's scoring goals, and he seems to be. He kind of took the team on the shoulder a little bit. Remember that 90-minute free kick?
He's a freak show. He plays really... But like I say, it's a poor man's Argentina. It's not a diss. but they are stronger defensively.
And one more thing, they always they love a tournament.
They do.
They love a tournament.
Suarez loves to fuck up a tournament.
Suarez loves to. I know they weren't great in the last World Cup, but in recent years in Copa Americas and in the last World Cup, they made it to the semi-final. They've always been there. Mm-hmm. They've always been there. So
maybe it's their time. That's the thing. You know, with all these teams, there's the talent on all the teams that we've mentioned so far to take it all the way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, chances are that not all these teams necessarily will, but the talent is certainly there. So moving on to number seven. Who have you got in number seven in your
number
in your
seven? Power ranking? I have Portugal.
Portugal. Okay.
And in fairness, I looked at them and I said, are Portugal better than England? In a certain way, no. There's one factor there. And I think we all know the factor.
We know the factor.
We know the factor.
Big match. Big match, man.
He does it every time. And that's one Cristiano. That's the only reason why I put them over England. I think that factor, no, they might not be a great team. Mm. But when you have someone, he might be getting on. We don't doubt that. But when you have someone as great as Cristiano now, though, his presence on the field alone is big enough to affect a game. And they do have some fantastic talents there. Renato Sanchez, as much as we have a discussion about him. He's
the playing in that team changes things.
Exactly.
So what I will say before I go on to my number seven is I have a couple of disagreements with that, just purely in terms of the position, because I have Portugal in my top 10, as mm-hmm. you'd be surprised to hear, but I have them fifth. I'll go into that into more detail when I get to mine. So my number seven is Belgium. Have they made your top 10?
They did make my top 10,
but a bit higher. So Belgium are 7th. I put that down to my little kind of tidbits, my notes here. I've got Belgium, it's unreal talent. Mm-hmm. It's whether they can do it in the, you know, if it's whether they can put it all together in the team. Mm-hmm. I've made my point here. For me, it's the third most talented squad in the tournament.
I will not disagree with
you. I mean, if you look, it's a more talented squad than Brazil. Mm-hmm. It's a more talented squad than Portugal. Yeah. It's a more talented, this is maybe ruffling a few feathers, but I'm talking about the whole squad.
Yeah.
It's a more talented squad than Argentina. Like, say,
yes.
Yeah.
If you go from, because Argentina are great going forward, but not too much going back. Yeah. When you look from 1 to 11, the players on the bench too.
It works it out.
Exactly.
De Bruyne's form of his life. Fellaini's apparently being offered loads and loads of money, mm-hmm. which he's rejecting because he can go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Lukaku's hit a bit of a dry spell, but he's playing.
He just became the all-time leading goal scorer with 31 goals.
Hazard's there. The defense is rock solid. But
Nangolan, Dembele. We can go on for Witzel. We can go on for days. Napoli. What's his name?
Exactly. But yes, they have unreal talent. It's the team ethic. I think Thierry Henry, as much as I love the man,
mm-hmm.
I think the dynamic of Roberto Martinez, Thierry Henry, it just seems, you know, a French guy and a Spanish guy in Belgium as coaches and managers.
Is he Spanish or Italian?
Martinez is Spanish.
Is he?
Yeah. I think it's a strange dynamic. I think Roberto Martinez is the wrong guy at Belgium, and I don't think they'll get it done. But as I've said there, I'm making the point that the talent is there to do.
For me, if we're looking at talent alone, they would be a lot higher in my list too. I have to just look at all around spectrum. But
so moving on, who have you got in six?
Number six, I have Argentina.
Snap! I have Argentina too, but I'll let you do your bits.
Simple. If we're going by talent. They should be a lot higher, but I look at the way they struggle to qualify and the Nigerian performance too. For me, they're pretty high, but mm-hmm. they should be higher by like the talent.
Yeah.
But going into World Cup, if that guy turns up, and you know who that guy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much like the Portugal thing, it's totally true.
If Messi turns up, I will not be surprised if they win it. Because we all know the talent that they have in the team.
That's the one thing. I wasn't even going to say anything about Argentina because you touched all the points that mm-hmm. I was going to touch. The one thing that you basically just said there, in your stats page that you have at halftime, at full-time, etc., you have shots on target, goals, right? And you can work those out as percentages for conversion and all that kind of stuff. If Argentina take their chances, they'll do a Liverpool, kind of, mm-hmm. and they're going to outscore whoever the fuck is put in front of them. Simple as that. There's no two ways about it. If Argentina get six chances in a game and they score three of them, which is, from that attack, you kind of would have expected that, and they can prevent the other team from scoring three or four goals, then they're going to win most games. But it's like you said, it's that midfield, the defence,
it's that midfield. So literally, when you look at it from the midfield and the defence is a problem, but when you have players like Higuain to pick from, Aguero, Di Maria, Dybala, I can go on and
Icardi,
on.
I just had to name drop him.
Exactly. And then Lionel Messi, like,
yeah.
What else?
You don't. There's nothing else.
If they like, if for me, if they don't turn up in this World Cup, I'm just thinking there's something wrong there. There's
and the other thing is, I've had this a lot. I've had this a lot on Twitter from people with Argentina. What are you talking about? They've got a bad defense. Otamendi, Rojo, Mascherano, I think they've got a couple decent fullbacks coming through now. And I kind of said, like, yeah, but you look at these players, these are ball playing. Mascherano is a midfielder, really. Otamendi is in a team at the moment where he's having the best season of his career because he has 70% possession of the ball every game. Marcus Rojo, alright, maybe he can defend a bit, but he's still usually plays in a team where he dominates the ball. He's not a proper defender. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on to fifth. I'll let you fifth,
Five, I have Belgium.
Belgium. Alright, so let's hear it.
Just, again, I looked at it and
You mad that mine's in seventh? Or are you kind of like, you can understand
it? I can understand it because if we're looking at talent, I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
Sure.
Because the team, look at the team.
Yeah.
If you're a manager right now and they give you this team, I'll be running my hands.
Yeah, big time.
Look at all I can do with that.
Semi-final guaranteed.
Exactly. Because there's too much talent in this team to say, that they can't do it. But just, they underperformed in the Euros. I would say underperformed because they did blow, what team did they play? That they blew away 4-0.
I can't remember. I'll have a quick look.
Blow them, but again, the quarter final against I was gonna say Swansea there, but
they beat Gibraltar. Welsh. They beat Gibraltar. Their most recent
in the Euros.
I can't remember.
But they blew one team away.
Yeah.
And then they played Wales.
Yeah.
And we all know what happened from there. The problem, if they can get the dynamic right, Belgium actually, when you on paper, semi-finals, final,
without a shadow of a doubt,
if they don't get it right, again, I hate this thing of putting it down to the manager all the time. But you're gonna have to look. The players definitely gonna have to look themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager's gonna have to look himself because you have no right not to make it to the semi-final or final with that sort of team.
No, and the thing is, I think where it's different with Belgium is that it is all over the pitch. Because many people will look at, you got Hazard, Lukaku, Mertens or Carrasco or whoever with behind him. You've got De Bruyne, Witsel, Nainggolan, and then you go, all right, you've given us kind of our attacking and midfield options. This is well up there with probably top three defensive talent pools in the world, no question.
Exactly.
Spurs have the best defence in the Premier League, I think.
Yeah.
And that's purely down to the fact that you've got two guys in there who are both Belgian.
We're both Belgian, but again, you look at it right now, they can also bring in Thomas Vermaelen and Vincent Kompany. Like
Meunier is right back.
On and on and on how good this team is. Yeah. They have no right not to make it to the semi-final. Yeah.
I guess the reason why I have them in there in my power rankings, and like you said, you can understand it, it's the fact it's not, but they've not done it before. They should do it, but I still don't think they will, which would be a big shame. So my fifth, this I'm coming on to my Portugal bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually went to see Portugal play in Euro 2016 in the quarterfinals. I went to Marseille with some good friends of mine after a quick holiday in Barcelona. Good summer. and what I've noticed is some young prospects are now household names in the footballers' world of industry. I just want to throw some names out there. Bernardo Silva, Andre Silva just moved to Milan, Joao Mario at Inter, Renato Sanchez, Nelson Semedo, Joao Cancelo, Gonzalo Guedes, Gelson Martins, Andre Gomez of Barcelona, Adrian Silva, his failed move to Leicester. I nearly put this team in fourth.
when you put it like that, I can see why they're high.
Yes, and I tell you why. It's because Ronaldo will always have big moments. I have no doubt that the World Cup's going to roll around and Ronaldo's going to score a last-minute goal, whether it be a tap-in or an absolute screamer. He always has big moments. He now has the support of young, established, hungry players, most of whom were in and around the squad who won in Euro 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that and I'm looking at this crop. All those names there, I think the oldest name in that list is Hal Mario, and he's 24. So we got some guys coming into their prime, maybe a couple years before their prime. Maybe we'll see it in the next Euros, this Portugal team really at its top point.
Another golden era.
But with Ronaldo. That's the thing. This is the point. I have no doubt Ronaldo will be at the Euros in 2 or 3 years'
really?
Time. He'll still be there. He'll be playing nine or something. Like he'll want to get as many goals as he can mm-hmm. before he retires. But I think this team's going to come into its own, and instead of Ronaldo carrying the whole weight, mm-hmm. he's now got all those guys around him helping him, so I got Portugal in fifth. That's my team in there.
When you put it like that, I can see why. Definitely. So, but beyond that, I'm going to look at is that, in my opinion, those the teams I have there, better than Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the thing. There are a couple teams in there where you think, yeah, like you say, I think one thing that maybe I've based mine on, which is different to yours, is I'm looking at it purely at the team without any perforations, whereas maybe you're looking at it from a standpoint of matchups. And if Portugal were to play, so for example, I've got Argentina in sixth, Belgium seventh, Croatia, Uruguay and England. If Portugal were to play all those teams, would they beat all those teams? I don't know. So maybe you're right. I don't know.
But again, when you mention it like that, and you look at the type of talent, because I don't think Ronaldo is someone that's going to grab the game and take the ball deep and run with it again.
Yeah.
He's someone that he feeds off scraps. Mm.
And he's going to guarantee big moments.
Exactly.
The
ball somehow finds a way to him. Yeah.
Right, so moving on to number four. Who have you got on number four? This is where I think we'll start to have some similarities.
Yeah, number four, the former champion, Spain.
Oh, okay. All right. They're in my list. They're not that. Mine are much higher, but of course, go ahead.
Again, I look at it and you ask me why they're fourth. People say that they should be higher, but I look at the teams that I have ahead of them and I can just see why.
You're happy with it.
But again, I just look at it again and come on, you have your East Coast, your Iniesta's. I can go, even Fabregas can't even get in the Spanish team anymore.
Yeah.
I can go on and on with the talent that they have mm-hmm. there. And watching them play, the style hasn't changed. They're still the same team. And even when they play teams, they do blow away teams. I'm not going to lie, they did play France, and they did blow away France.
Mm-hmm.
France, I'm not going to give it away. I'm not, but France are very high on my list,
yeah.
And they blew away France.
Yeah.
So I'm a friend of France didn't play Paul Pogba and all that. So
yeah,
a couple of their players were missing. But again, the talent there is fantastic. And
yeah.
if they do win it, it's a Spanish effect.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to tournaments,
You don't win three majors in a row without knowing what
exactly.
you do. And some of the players in that squad are still knocking
exactly.
around as well.
And even then, there are young players there who have just... Martin Rata, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but
sure.
again, he's a good player. Diego Costa, in my opinion, is like the best striker. Isco, who I believe can just go on and become anything
he
pleases.
He
Busquets is still on it.
Iniesta
won't stop. I can go on. Thiago, like, listen to the talent pool of players.
So, in at fourth for me is Brazil.
Ooh!
Now, I'll tell you why. And here are my little notes before we kind of discuss it a bit more. Neymar, Jesus, as in Gabriel Jesus, Coutinho, Marquinhos, Thiago Silva, Marcelo, Alves. Dangerous players playing at the top level. I have no doubt about that. In their two fullbacks, not in my opinion, but there's the argument to be had that these are the two best fullbacks in the world game right now. Not in mine, but if somebody were to say that, I'm not going to shout them down and say they're crazy because
mm-hmm.
they're there or thereabouts.
Depends what you want to look at fullbacks.
True.
Know? If you're looking at tackle options, these guys are, without a shout, without the best.
This is it. Now, the thing is with Brazil, it's the consistency and it's the poor defensive structure that I look at again. Now, what was kind of nice to see Tite do against England was there was a midfield three going on. And a part of me looked at that and kind of thought, oh, cool. But I feel like the problem with the midfield three that they had, and then kind of the fullbacks pushing on so aggressively was it left it all a little bit stagnant. I think it's going to eventually let them down, the way they're set up at the moment. My point is that it's not the Brazilian way, but if they did a double pivot, mm-hmm. the 4-2-3-1, as we've become accustomed to for the past decade, basically, Fernandinho and Casemiro, double pivot, they win the World Cup. I'm saying that now, it's a bit of a mm-hmm. rash statement,
yeah.
but if they do that, double pivot, fullbacks pushing on, and then Casemiro and Fernandinho mm-hmm. help cover with Marquinhos and Thiago Silva, I think that's a good enough defensive coverage, solid enough midfield, and then you can have four positions, wingers, 10, 9, they win the World Cup. That's my...
Does David Luiz get into the team?
No, okay. No. He's, don't get me wrong, he's in the squad for moral support, but I think Marquinhos is better than David Luiz. I think Thiago Silva still is better than David Luiz. I think what will eventually happen is Thiago Silva will start to decline a little bit, David Luiz will hit his prime and can go into it.
I'm going to say something right now. I think, I look at it, and in my opinion, the reason why you don't put Brazil as high, in my opinion, was everyone is still scared from that 7-1 trashing. And they all remember how vulnerable and how defensive they were that day. But when you look back at that day, this isn't the same team.
No, true.
The name, I think, for me, really killed them. I don't know what happened when they were in the dressing room, but they all just went static. I think you're going to look, and you're still looking at it from that type of point, that they mm-hmm. still have tendencies to explode and turn into mm-hmm. that Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this team right now, and this team don't have Fred.
No.
They don't have Bernard at the top. They don't have Oscar, who's a good player, but again, he's tendencies mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
Paulinho's still there, but they don't rely on him as much as they used to.
Yeah.
So I look at this like this Brazilian team, and there's a lot more youth there. I'll get into it more when
I... Yeah, of course. But that's just my thing. My one kind of standout point there, which I think may shock a few people, is if they do that double pivot and they have those four positions, those three behind a nine mm-hmm. to play with, Brazil winning the World Cup.
They can hurt you from any angle. Coutinho, yeah. For me, these two, Coutinho for me is a fantastic footballer. Yeah. He could be top 15 in the world. He's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Coutinho, and then... If Neymar shows up, I keep on saying this, but if Neymar shows up
yep.
with the talent around them, and I believe that they are a team, they're not just individuals, they can all be a team. They'll show up,
they
and then we'll be seeing the six instead of the five on the show next time.
Yeah. So I've got, so that's me at four. Who have you got at three?
At three, I have the Germans. The Germans, I can see your smile right there.
Okay.
I'm going to see where...
No, it's cool. I want to hear you out.
Okay. For me, again, I look at it right now, and to be honest, I don't actually think it's a great Germany side. You might think I'm like, oh, but I look at it, and I'm not like mind blown, but again, they are Germany, and Germany are efficient, and they know how to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it from a striker's point of view. I know who's the
Timo Werner.
Yeah, Timo Werner. Everyone's a big fan. He's a good player, and like he's scoring goals,
but what's he done?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I do look at Thomas Muller. He's been pulling up no more trees. He's in and out of the team. He hasn't scored in a long time. Mesut Ozil, people are still... I love Mesut Ozil, and like we'll get into a Mesut Ozil conversation soon. But Mesut Ozil to some people ain't pulling enough trees. Mario Götze, no one really cares about him no more.
Mm-hmm.
All the stars that we were speaking about have lost their sparkle. Mm-hmm. So it's not as strong of a team star wise. But again, if we're talking about team, I say that they're the biggest team there.
Sure, yeah. Right. Die Mannschaft, yeah.
Die Mannschaft. When it comes to it, yeah. They get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I believe that there's two teams better than them. But again, it's still Germany. And if Germany go on to win it, I won't be surprised.
No, it's true. So, like I said, I will of course get onto them because, funnily enough, they do make my top 10.
Yeah.
So, in at third for me is France.
France, oh, okay.
Now, I want to preface that first of all by saying it's undeniably, I would probably put them, I don't want to say anything too outrageous, I'm going to put them in the top three most talented squads. I think that's very safe. I was about to say the most talented, but that's, And to be fair, if you held a gun to my head, I probably would say they are the most talented squad.
In my opinion, they have the best squad. Then.
I'd probably say they would be, but for me, the consistency's not there.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't settled on a team, in my opinion. Now, this is the embarrassment of riches conversation. It's the Manchester City syndrome to a certain extent. You have so many great players. How dare you leave Bernardo Silva, Ilkay Gundogan? How dare you leave these people on the bench? How dare you leave... Maybe you have to leave Griezmann on the bench, or Mbappe, or Lamar, or Martial.
How can...
It's Fekir.
That actually came out of your mouth. I said leave Griezmann. It's
crazy. It just shows that stuff happens. So that's the thing. I think it's the embarrassment of riches thing. I don't think Deschamps knows what the best blend of players he has there. I think Deschamps is... I think everyone's behind him, but I still don't think he's the best coach for that side.
Yeah.
But I think that, yet again, if you go through the lineup, Hugo Lloris is a elite goalkeeper.
Yeah.
They have elite defenders in every position. They have elite midfielders in every position. And they have elite attackers in every position. You can't do it. But for me, especially in Euro 2016, you got home field advantage. They didn't do it then. If they're playing in the World Cup against teams who have caught up to him, I think, a bit.
You're going to take your own soon in the middle when I'm honest.
But that's my third. Okay. Any disagreements, or do you want to move on to your number two?
We can move on to number two, because we'll get to them.
All right, number two for you.
And number two for me is Brazil.
Okay.
Again, when it comes to tournaments, no one knows how to do it like Brazil.
Yeah.
They are the people, and as I said going on the last time, we all remember the home advantage last time, and they did make it to the semi-final. But again, mm-hmm. when you look at that Brazil team from 1-11, that to the 2014 team, that was a weak team.
Yeah, it was.
It was a really weak team, and there was players there who weren't developed to a certain instinct. Mm-hmm. And you look at this team, you can just see a great balance in the team. And like you mentioned there, that this is, it could be a point where you have Casemiro and Fernandinho in the midfield.
Yeah.
That's like having Patrick really Vieira and Makélélé in the midfield.
That's really strong.
It's such a strong man, and everyone could talk about, oh yeah, Brazil can't defend Thiago Silva, Marquinhos, you can even put David Luiz. As much as people say David Luiz, I do think 1v1 defending, he's probably one of the best in the world. And we can talk about fullbacks. How long have Brazil been blessed with fullbacks? Dani Alves, Marcelo.
A good example for that is, as Pilicueta is, in my opinion, when he finishes his career in the Premier League, he will be regarded as the greatest right back of all time in the Premier League.
I'm not. I don't know that.
Yeah, and he wasn't called up for the most recent games. And that, I mean, sorry, hang on, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Chelsea. Excuse me, ignore all that I just said. We're talking about Brazil. I'm bringing up Spanish right backs. Ignore me, sorry.
But I get it too.
But the point's still proven. I feel like I wasn't called up to the Spanish team, and I don't know why the fuck that wasn't one. Anyway,
we'll get onto that one later, and gentlemen. But again, you just look at the team, and it's just got better and better. And when it got to a point where you realize players like what's it called, Firmino can't even get into this team.
Yeah.
The embarrassment of riches are there, and it's not just that, they're a team. Mm-hmm. They're a team of mm-hmm. players. They came to England, and again, the 2-0 draw, the nil-all draw, I don't know how did it, but again, the embarrassment of riches. Jesus, who in my opinion, if he doesn't peak, will go on to be one of the best strikers in the world by goodness.
Well, he's getting up in terms of, I don't know how old the guy is. Let me just check this real quick.
Someone said 21 or something.
I think he must be around that age. So he's 20.
He's 20.
Damn. So I'm looking at him in terms of potential position, and if he keeps going, don't get me wrong, I appreciate that there is a difference between the player in the system
mm-hmm.
and a player who's not in a system
yes.
per se. But I'm looking at him in terms of potential, and I'm putting him up with Mbappe, and I'm putting him, you know, he's for me, he's on a par, if not this year, passing Rashford for sure.
His maturity. One thing I look at young players is that when they step on the pitch, how mature do they look? He looks mature already. Yeah. He just looks like he understands the game. And again, we talk about Jesus and how good he is. For Philippe Coutinho, for me, I think he's top 15 in the world. He's such a fantastic footballer.
Yeah.
That's the reason why Barcelona went in for him, because they know that this guy is a fantastic player. And again, in my opinion, when Messi and Ronaldo do move into the sunset, this may be never, because they could play to their 50, but yeah. The heir to the throne is Neymar, yeah. Who, when it comes to football, it's a joke to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fantastic yeah. footballer, and he knows what happened last time, and I'm pretty sure it hurts, not just him, but that team. And they're going to want to rectify that. Yeah, it's a mental thing too.
Yeah, that'll be in there, and that'll be spurring them on. So Brazil were your number two, were they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my number two. Have you got another? Wait, what do you want? Did you want to say? All right, cool. Yeah. So my number two is Spain. Now I know you had them a little kind of further behind in there. Okay, bear with me a sec. Okay, apologies about the brain fart there going on about Azpilicueta and talking a load of shit. Moving on to my number two, though, in the power rankings, is I've got Spain. And where did you have them? Fourth?
I had them at number four, yes.
Yeah, fourth. So the reason why I think they're a bit higher, and there's very little in it, I think we can both agree on that, there's not a lot in it. The way I look at it is some of the breakout stars over the past 3 years or so are now household names in the football industry. It's actually really similar point to the Portugal thing. So you're looking at Isco, mm-hmm. Salinigues, Koke, Dani Ceballos, Asensio. I know these are all midfielders, but I guess my point is that what's starting to happen now is that all these players are starting to cement themselves. You're starting to get a couple of defenders come through. David De Gea is now undoubtedly, in my opinion, best goalkeeper in the world at the moment. So they've got that set there. They've still got a couple stalwarts in the centre and Pique and Ramos. And the difference, they got strikers now. They got a real deal, set in stone strikers. Morata, Callejon, Costa. So for me, it's a complete team, so to speak. And some of the ageing players that were going out of the Spain team are now being replaced by young, vibrant players who are looking to make a point, like with Portugal.
I do not doubt that. In fairness, that's what I said. With all these teams right now, we could literally bounce all off.
Yeah,
there's exactly. No right that we can't put thing over thing, but it's again, this is opinionated. It's an opinionated conversation. But
to be fair, we've all I'm pretty sure that if you were to look at it, maybe. So what have I think maybe I've got Uruguay and Portugal mm-hmm. in a bit weird positions, yeah. whereas you don't.
Yeah.
And maybe you've got a couple of people, but it's much the same, isn't it? It's not really too much to disagree on.
It's very similar in a way.
So who is your
number one is France.
Okay.
And you made a point saying that they didn't get the job done in the Euros and
with home field advantage,
and I don't doubt that, but when you look at that game, there was destiny that Portugal to win that game. We all seen what happened. And especially now with this team, I do believe they lack this. They lack a striker. But again, Lacazette, who did score two against, Germany.
Yeah.
Is also there. So to say that they lack a striker now, they don't.
Martial's build up for that goal as well.
Martial was fantastic in this team. And for me, I look back to the last World Cup, and I seen Pogba said that he seen a team that were good, but they weren't quite ready.
Mm-hmm.
This Euros came up, they were good, but some people say not good enough. For me, they were by far the best team there,
yeah.
and the talent. And now they're all getting a bit older, a lot wiser, and this team, in my opinion, should be ready now to take the world by storm because the talent there. We can go on, and Mbappe just came out of nowhere, and he is the best young player in the world. He's a game changer. He will walk into any side because he is that good of a player. We can talk about Antoine Griezmann, Paul Pogba, who I do believe has the ability to be, I would say, in a way, he's probably the best midfielder in the world.
He's second for me, but I take your point.
Exactly. You look at this team, N'Golo Kante, Listen, Blaise Matuidi. I can go on to the defense to talk about
Bakayoko's coming out.
We can go on and on about this team. This is a fantastic team of players who have not just got better, but they've got a lot more wiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that, the last tournament and not winning that, they're gonna remember that. And just remember this: they did go through against a German team.
It's true.
And big games, if any team shows up, it's Germany. Found a way, not just beat them, but they bet them pretty comfortably at the end. So this team, in my opinion, has now matured to a stage that I do believe, not just technically they're fantastic, but I believe mentally now.
Leadership, all that stuff.
Leadership.
So that actually leads on really nicely to my number one. I just want to say very quickly, we don't disagree. I think we can both, in reasonable confidence, say that France is the most talented squad going to the game. I think going to the World Cup, I think is probably reasonable to say. Yeah. I don't think you'd get too many doubters on that.
Mm-hmm.
But number one for me is Germany.
Germany.
Die Mannschaft. They're the reigning champs. It's total football in every Dutch sense of the word, but they've put on that, you know, we talk about that German efficiency, that German mindset on it as well. They're strong in every area of the pitch. They've lost major players without since the last World Cup. Uh-huh. And you would think, how would they manage to recover from this? Well, they lost Philipp Lahm, and it's like they made another Philipp Lahm in a lab somewhere. They got Josh Kimmich, who can play right back, holding midfield, centre midfield, can do everything that Lahm could. He could potentially reach the heights that Lahm did. Lahm, for me, is the greatest right back of all time.
Oh, in my opinion, he's the greatest right back of all time.
So. They've got those positions kind of locked down. They're still, I think, on the left, they're still putting centre backs. I think they've still got Havertz at left back still, which I still don't truly agree with. But it's strength across the entire field. The one, obviously, you know, the one disappointment is at nine, where they're missing somebody. But I think we noticed when they last won the World Cup, their nine was Mario Gomez in dribs and drabs, but then they did the false nine with Götze, which they could easily do with Müller. I think for me, you look at the talent, and I think you've got to say that Germany, in terms of talent, are probably top three.
Yeah.
You know, I would say probably it would go France, Spain, Germany, maybe in that order. Maybe Germany just ahead of Spain. But I think it's the mindset, it's the winning mentality. Jogi Löw knows exactly what he's fucking doing out there with his shit haircut and his shit fashion sense.
And his picking of the nose and all that. He knows how to get the job done.
But that's it for me. Where did you have Germany?
I had Germany at third place. Yeah. But again, listen, when I look at it, as I said, when it comes to a team, Germany, they know how to get the job done. The Confederations Cup with a youth team, they rolled in that place and they done the job.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
If any team knows how to get the job done, it's Germany, regardless of what team they have there. I don't, listen, to put Germany at number one, I can't even say no, because they're such a good team and they just know, as I said, I'll say it again, they know how to get the job done.
So a quick rundown of my top 10, then I'll get you to a quick rundown of yours. I've got England in at 10th, Croatia 9th, Uruguay 8th, Belgium 7th, Argentina 6th, Portugal 5th, Brazil 4th, France 3rd, 2nd Spain, and 1st Germany.
Mine was Croatia and then Colombia, but I'm going to change them for Uruguay because I forgot how good Uruguay was, my bad. Then I had England, Portugal, Argentina, Spain, Germany, Belgium at 5th. Germany at third, Brazil at second, and number one, France.
Nice. So moving on to the next segment, we're just going to quickly review the Premier League fixtures for this upcoming week. Now, last week I went 5-5 on my picks. So sorry, the last game week before the international break. So I went 7-3 my first game week in calling the games correctly. I went 5-5 the week after. So I'm 12-8 overall. Obviously, I have a bit of company now. To help me make my picks, 7-3 looks a lot better than 12-8, but I digress, we'll move on. So, with two Arsenal fans sitting across from me, let's get started in the North London derby. James, I'll let you start.
Woo! This is the word is passed around enough, but this is a quite significant game. This is the first time the Spurs are going to proper roll into the Emirates in everyone. Has Tottenham as favourites. Even Arsenal fans have Tottenham as favourites. Even the most pessimistic guy who loves Arsenal to death would even say that Tottenham are favourites going into this game. And if Tottenham win, a lot of people will not be surprised. That's why I say this game is significant. Personally, in my opinion, as an Arsenal fan, it is at the Emirates, and I don't care who you are at the Emirates. I still expect Arsenal to win.
Okay.
You can be Barcelona, you can be Real Madrid, you can be Bayern Munich, as much as you get spanked.
But are you expecting them to win as a fan who just wants their team to win, or can you take a step back thing and go, right, I'm capable of taking a step back and being realistic about it?
I'm capable of taking a step back. Arsenal, in a way, should win the game.
Okay.
And
no. Yeah, against Spurs, of course. Yes. But I guess I'm talking about, like you said, Barcelona come to town. Would you really expect Arsenal to beat Barcelona?
At home? Yes.
Okay.
Because I just believe there's just something about the Emirates that I feel that when Arsenal go against the team, I'm not going to say, oh yeah, we're favourites going into the game. But I wouldn't say, if Arsenal won, I'd be like, yeah, we won. Because people need to understand how vital home advantage is in being at your own ground is. And like when teams pull up to the Emirates, most of the time I expect Arsenal to win.
So what's the score going to be, and how's the game going to go?
What's the score going to be? Now, I want to come here and my heart says Arsenal's going to show up and I blow them away and have a good night's sleep.
Right. Yeah.
But my head is telling me that this could be one of the worst nights I've
ever had. Oh, no.
Because it's all right going to the lane and losing, but then for them to come to the Emirates and win.
Something not right about that.
It's just. Spurs have only won at the Emirates once in I don't know how many games, but I feel this is going to be a thing where Spurs will show up, they'll be more up for the game than us, which they shouldn't be.
Mm.
And they're gonna, Harry Kane is gonna do what he does best.
First of all, cut you off. Do you agree with that?
It all depends on Harry Kane's playing.
Yeah, Harry Kane is playing. I want you to realize this right here. England had two big games, and all the Tottenham boys sat out the big games. Why? It's not because they had Swansea next week. They have Arsenal. And I'm pretty sure Pochettino would have had you.
Hey, Harry,
how you doing? You know, don't go England.
Do you agree that Spurs are going into the game more fired up than Arsenal, though? Because that's what James said.
Well, I believe that Arsenal should be fired up more than Tottenham.
But do you think they will be?
It depends. Like, there's not really, like, a passionate Arsenal player on the team except for Jack Wilshere.
Thank you.
In my opinion,
he should start. In my opinion,
we need someone like that knows the North London derby just for what it is.
But for me, the reason why I said Jack Wilshere should start, there's a thing between passion and quality. Jack Wilshere is not only passionate, he is quality too. I would take quality over passion any day of the week, because I know what Jack Wilshere can bring to the table. When going back to Arsenal, when you look at it, how many players really care about the North London derby? You really think Sanchez is gonna? Oh, we got Tottenham this week. Let's do it.
You don't care.
So quickly, so off the back of that, and I'm gonna have to like cut you at certain bits. That does bring me onto a point I wanted to ask both of you. Has Sanchez checked out? Now, here's my example very quickly before I let you shoot off. I worked a telesales job before I started uni, and I moved from the sales department into a compliance team, and I knew I was moving, and sales, obviously, I knew I was going, so if I hit my target or not, I was moving on. So my sales figures went down for the 2 weeks before I moved to my other thing, because I checked out. I knew I was going. They couldn't really do anything to stop me. I was either going to go straight away, I was going to just quit, or I was going to move department. So I had checked out. Do you think he's gone, probably won't be here in January, or scratch that, definitely won't be here at the end of the summer? Do you think he is dossing his way 5 or 6 out of 10 per week his way through the rest of his Arsenal career?
You just have to look at, for me, I think what speaks volumes about someone is their body language. And I do believe it started from last season at the Bournemouth game. I think that's when
they started throwing gloves around.
Exactly. That's when I think he changed as a person.
Right.
Sanchez has always been a passionate person, but not that. For me, there's a difference between passion and then just being petulant.
Sure.
And he's gotten to a point that he's petulant now. He's throwing, he's throwing gloves in the air, not listening to the same, not shaking managers' hand, not shaking Arsenal's hand, not clapping us and not applauding the fans. And you can just clearly see that he doesn't want to be there. And like, you look at his form as a football player right now, it has dipped. His body language is not there. We went to a game against Doncaster, right, when Sanchez played. And his body language was just a player
negative.
A player just felt that just he felt that he was way too big to be there.
And players that should not be at Arsenal
I don't care how much quality
you have. No player.
You can talk about you're talking about your other top team, but this is Arsenal Football Club. Mm. How dare you believe that you're bigger than Arsenal Football Club? And if he plays, he plays for quality reasons. He doesn't play for a reason that he's fired up for the game. I think it's a way that Arsenal. I don't believe Arsenal has dealt with the situation.
Well. I really don't believe.
Is he allowed to drop him? There was rumors at Barca that Pep wasn't allowed to drop Messi, which is part of the reason. One of the reasons why he left, he didn't have the freedom to drop Messi if he wanted to.
Well, he dropped him against Liverpool.
Mm.
So I wouldn't say Arsenal have but Arsenal understand the quality that Alexis does bring to the team. And I don't doubt the guy's quality, but all I'm going to say is that you're at this football club. I don't care. I don't care who you are. You see, you're not better than Thierry Henry. You're not better than Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are to think that you're bigger than the football club? Yeah. And throw his hands in the air.
It's probably my favourite player of all time, by the way. That might make you guys smile, Dennis Bergkamp.
I thought you were going to say Sanchez.
Nah, fuck
that. Right,
he's good, but no. Okay, so Ruben, I want to ask you on this one. Spurs have the best defence in the league. First of all, do you agree? Second of all, if you're going to score goals against Spurs, which presumably you'd like to, how many are you going to score? But first of all, do you agree Spurs have the best defence in the league?
I kind of believe that still, because they're quite organised. That back three of theirs of Davinson Sanchez, which actually I thought was a panic buy.
Yeah.
But when I actually saw him play, he's actually stepped up this season. I rated that. Vertonghen, he's another player that's, I think this season, he's outshining Alderweireld this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
And Alderweireld, when he's on his day, he's one of the best Premier League defenders. So I do believe that. Trippier, he's stepped up this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
If Aurier plays,
yeah,
that's one weak link. Like Aurier attacking, what is mentally, if he play Aurier mentally,
you mentioned that, the heat in the moment.
Yeah. If you get in his head, he will switch like that, and he'll.
So hang on, he's right side, so he's playing your guys on the left. So you got like Sanchez. Monreal, Kolasinac, mm-hmm. Sanchez.
But not only that, I do believe the Emirates is known for being a library.
Yeah.
But not when this game.
Not when this game
rolls around. It's not just the player. I think the fans are gonna be more fired up than the players because the fans care. Trust me, they care.
So my last point, and just it's just purely a guess from you guys, is Lacazette going to play?
Definitely.
Does he start?
He's starting.
Well, first of all, should he start? Yes. And I'm sure the answer for you both is yes. Mm-hmm. But second of all, will he start? Does Arsene Wenger start him on Saturday?
Should he will start. And he
should.
He should start. Okay. Because I believe that he made a wrong decision on against Man City. He should start from the beginning. Like, it would have been a different game. Alex Iwobi brings defensive quality to the game, but his output to the game, look, you see this one output of the game we scored.
There's
one output. Like, when he went forward, there's one output. He passed to, was it Ozil?
No, he passed to Ramsey.
Ramsey to pass to Lacazette and scored.
Mm.
And Lacazette's finishing ability is impeccable as well. So
going to you, should he start, will he start?
In my opinion, this has been blown out of proportion. This Lacazette thing.
Yeah.
I believe people will find anything to pick on Arsenal. And with this Lacazette thing, I think Wenger looked at it and said, you know what, today we're going to go with a defensive start.
Yeah, I understand why he did it.
Exactly.
But I don't believe I should do it, or he should do it. If I was a manager, I would not do it. I understand why he did it.
Yes.
So let's look at it just to dispel any kind of BS that we got going on. So we're just entering our 12th game week.
Mm-hmm.
He started 9.
Yeah.
And he's come on twice from the bench.
And that was against Liverpool.
Yeah. City. But again, he has started games against Chelsea
and too. He's scoring a goal every other game.
Every other game. But again, I don't know, like I said, he's pulled up any trees. He's had some good moments and like he scored goals at times. But I think with Arsene Wenger, people will find any little thing to pick on him. Do you really think if another manager was about that, it would have been that big of an issue?
If Pep dropped Aguero that match and Man City lost, no one would say anything about
no.
but I'll go and be dropped.
Exactly.
No one actually say anything. Like, yeah. Say, oh, we play Jesus. Yeah. What?
So.
No.
Okay, so.
It's just the stigma around Arsenal. Like,
exactly.
The stigma. Everybody just wants to go at Arsenal.
Exactly.
Yeah, Arsenal, Wenger, Arsenal. Like, it's just a, like.
It's a stigma, and like it's like the problem with this Arsene Wenger sign. And plus, I think the way Arsenal fans have just exploded to this point now, where teams just want to laugh at us, they'll find anything to do. And plus, with the way we are as a fan base, it's ruined the team in a way, you know.
Mm. So to finalize, I'm gonna put my score prediction out there as 1-1. I think that it's a must-win game for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think that if you had to pick one game throughout the entire year, you touched on it really well, actually. It's a good point. If this is a White Hart Lane or Wembley, whatever, and, you know, we spoke the other day about at Wembley, Arsenal like playing at Wembley, mm-hmm. so it may be different.
Oh,
but not to get into that. We'll get into that when it comes. Yeah. But I think it's a must-win game for Arsenal. But I've spoken to you in the past about how if you look at the league, and you put Arsenal in and around their top six, but they're probably not within the top four at the moment, mm-hmm. and that's not where they are. I think they're right where they should be, but I think the Spurs have best defense in the league, with Sanchez kind of just dossing his way through the rest of his Arsenal career. I think it's going to be 1-1. What's your score prediction? How do you think the game kind of pans out?
It is at the Emirates, and my heart says to me that we're going to rock up there and we're going to blow Tottenham away. A couple of goals for Sanchez, which I just like a Lacazette on the score.
3-1, 3-0?
Also on 4-0.
4-0.
My head tells me that. If you actually look on paper, you're right, it should be a draw.
Mm.
But what my head tells me what's going to happen is that it could be a thing where we start off slowly, a bit tentative. Just like the Man City game. Spurs get a goal and another one, 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
We get one back, confidence builds up, fans build up, and then we get hit on a break or a bad call by the referee.
3-1.
And the game is 3-1 Tottenham.
Okay.
But really? Hope not.
I believe it's going to be 2-1, but I think we're
going to. Arsenal?
To Arsenal. Okay. To Arsenal. But we're going to concede first.
So it's a comeback.
Now after Aaron Ramsey going to pop out of nowhere and score.
Nice.
I believe that. He in their matches he pops up.
He pops up
in their matches.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take that, to be honest.
So I think I'm still going to stick with my 1-1, but it's a good breakdown, a good review.
Four games at the Emirates, I think they've all ended up as a draw.
Oh really? I didn't know that, but that kind of makes me feel more secure about it. So just quickly, we'll rattle through these. A couple of these, if you want to make any key points, then I'd love to hear them. Bournemouth against Huddersfield. They've both actually got the same form in the last three games. But I think that Bournemouth are kind of working it out and they're going to look to win the game. So Bournemouth, Huddersfield, do you have anything to say or any predictions? I mean, who would you say is going to win that game?
Maybe Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Okay. Next one is Burnley against Swansea. I actually looked at the table properly for the first time I have all year, and it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird looking at that. Burnley are eighth. It's weird. Burnley, Swansea. Swansea are not doing well. They got a lot of quality players in their team. Probably more quality in and around their team, more quality than Burnley.
Yeah.
But it's not clicking, it's not working. Burnley is Burnley taking
this. This is a game that screams last on match of the day.
Yeah,
that's what it's really, and we've just done
Bournemouth Huddersfield. Yeah,
exactly.
So next up, Crystal Palace Everton. My little kind of notes here are Everton are going off the back of that big comeback 3-2 with Watford. I still think they're kind of riding that motivation from the new caretaker manager, that kind of thing. And Palace, it's just not working.
I feel Palace. I watched them against Tottenham, and when they played against Tottenham, they could have won that match on a level
on paper,
Zaha is baller, this season he's turned up this season.
Benteke's coming back soon.
Benteke's coming back, but Benteke depends. If you don't get service, he's useless. But Palace, I feel it depends on how they play. If they play with Zaha up front and just target him, they can. Maybe surprise.
Slow centre backs.
Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah.
Williams, Jagielka. So, But you still think Everton win, or do you maybe a draw?
I feel a sneaky,
it's at Palace.
I feel a sneaky Palace win.
Same, I'm going for a sneaky.
Sneaky Palace win.
I look at Palace's team, and on paper they should not be where they are right now. They're way too good to be bottom of the table.
It's true. So next game, this is actually quite a fun game. Leicester City are at home to Manchester City. Now, you'll be very surprised to hear, I'm sure, I've got Manchester City winning this. They're not going to be stopped here. Any points, any just commendments on how great City are playing, or Manchester City are playing, or what do you reckon?
I would love for Manchester City to lose.
Would you really?
I would love to see Iheanacho rock up and score 2 goals.
Yeah.
Man City.
In fact, Riyad Mahrez just run the show.
Mahrez twisting.
Trust.
Fabian Delph in and out.
So here's an interesting point, an interesting topic of conversation. Are people on the bandwagon with Manchester City that they want to see the... I mean, you two are Arsenal fans, so maybe this isn't a fair topic of conversation to have with you guys, but... Are people on the bandwagon with Manchester City where they want to see them continue and be undefeated all year and want to see the style of football? Or is it getting to that point now where you're like, oh, I'd fucking love to see them lose?
Well, without a shout out, you want to see them lose because
This
Premier League, again, it was just like that last year, but this Premier League is getting run over. If you leave Manchester City out of this thing, it's actually a really tight Premier League.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So it's very tight.
Yeah.
But Man City are just blowing teams away and just get to a point. Can we catch up with you? Just give us a hand there. So we need you to
drop 3 points.
Please, yeah. Leicester City. Listen, I'm hearing your Mahrez, Iheanacho, Jamie Vardy. Please rock up and beat this team. But we're going.
I think it's going to be Man City win.
By at least three goals.
Man City are going to do what they do. But again, they didn't lose their last season. Just remember that.
That's true. Next game, Liverpool again. Liverpool are at home at Anfield to Southampton. My little notes here. Returning Sadio Mane is properly firing now. I mean, he's actually injured.
He's actually injured, yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really? I thought he returned. Well, Coutinho's got a good run of games. I would still maintain they've got a good run of games there, and I still think Liverpool are going to win. Mo Salah, Firmino, midfield's rocking. What do you reckon? Liverpool at home to Liverpool, Southampton.
But I don't believe Liverpool. They don't have a proper striker.
That's true.
But Daniel Sturridge, if he gets
Sturridge, Solanke, Danny Ings, and...
Danny Ings, is he still alive?
No, I'm just saying, those are their strikers. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're good or not.
This game, in my opinion, is a typical Liverpool game.
Okay.
Because everyone's going to say that they're going to win. And how many times teams rock up and they don't actually win these type of games. This is a game I won't be surprised if Southampton win or finish 1-1.
Yeah. Next game, West Brom are at home, and West Brom, doing okay, are at home to Chelsea. The one thing I would say to West Brom, I believe they've lost their last 3 games in a row. Chelsea are starting to hit their stride a little bit more, and for me, what I've looked at is their defensive rotation in those centre-back roles has been unreal. If you look at it in terms of their, we'll drop Luis in, we'll drop Cahill in, we'll drop Rudiger, we'll drop Christensen, we'll drop Azpilicueta. They can mess around with that, and I think that's going to hold them in really good stead going forward. Obviously, I think Chelsea will win. Any points from that?
Or it could destroy them.
Yeah.
Might not have a rhythm, proper rhythm.
Exactly, because Chelsea were so used to that same back.
Kante's back.
Kante's back. Okay, Chelsea win then.
Yeah, okay. Manchester United, Newcastle. Manchester United are at home. I made a point here that Man United need to make a statement. They're in this weird kind of period moment. Mm-hmm. Stuff's not going quite right with Jose. The cracks are starting to show just in time for Mourinho to leave to PSG.
He's gone.
All I've made a point of saying is that I think there were reports Pogba's not actually going to be back, even though everyone thought he would be back after the international break. And the other point I made is Rafa Benitez is not an idiot. He's going to show up. He knows how to set the team up. You know, I don't play him that well. I think that game might be a draw.
You're right, because I look at this Man United side and I just see a team who, without Paul Pogba, just lacks creativity.
Yeah.
You know? That's true, yeah. Mkhitaryan is his
Fellaini's rejecting contract offers and all this kind of stuff.
Just deeper. Marouane Fellaini is just a contract for
me. I don't blame him with all that stick he's getting. I want to get out of there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure teams will want him want him in their team.
You know what? He's a plan B for Man United. That's why. Exactly. That's what he's a plan B player.
Did you see the Radio 5 Live Man United fan come on just going like, oh, we're just an expensive Burnley, or I can't remember what they said. They were talking about, we're just an expensive West Brom. Like, we just go Route 1 all the time.
But people are going to be like, oh, listen, they're just that. Manchester United have lost 2 games this year. Mm. They've won every single game. Just because Man City have ruined everyone's season now. Because
by comparison. Players,
exactly. Yeah. Because they play so well, no one can have a good season now. Thank you, Pep. Thanks. Right.
So I think Newcastle sneak a draw there. Draw.
I agree. I definitely agree.
No, 1-1.
No, 1-1. Okay. Next game, Watford versus West Ham. David Moyes' first game as West Ham manager. Watford are not playing well. Watford have lost. And excuse me, I think I made a point earlier about, I think West Brom have lost the last 3 in a row. That's not true. It was Watford that have lost the last 3 on the bounce. So it's at Watford. Watford are going to be pissed off after that Everton game, which they lost, obviously, very, very narrowly. But it is West Ham and David Moyes' first game together. What do we reckon?
I think Watford win.
Watford win?
Yeah, I think Richard Larson, like, if he turns up proper, like, he will destroy that West Ham defence.
Yeah.
I look at it as in, how many times do you see when the new manager rocks up and players just rejuvenate? Oh, he's just changed everything. My diet, this and that.
It's David Moyes.
I know it's
David Moyes. You can't go for David Moyes.
It's the effort. Just because you said that David Moyes, Watford win. All right, end of story.
Game over. Right, next game, final game on the Monday is Brighton and Hove Albion against Stoke City.
Boring.
I will not be watching that.
I'm not watching it either. I have a man crush. The one thing I will say, I have a man crush on Pascal Gross. I think he's unreal. I'd be surprised if he's been
what, playing. Football ability or like looks wise? Fair enough.
But I think that he's not going to be at Brighton starting next season. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be picked up by a team, I don't know who.
Stoke,
he's amazing and Stoke are unpredictable. I'm finding that game really difficult to call, so I'll probably just go for it.
What's Stoke on the table?
I'm going to have a quick look at that, actually, because this is the thing. I had a good look at the table recently and it's weird this year. I know it's relatively early still, but it looks really weird. So Stoke are 14th and their form the last 5 games, they won, lost, won, drew. And Brighton are 8th. Eighth above Stoke, and they are lost, draw, one.
Defensively, Brighton is quite sound, to be honest.
Yeah.
This season, I'd be surprised, man. I thought they'd be struggling this season.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking all these teams have rocked up. They have been really good.
Chris Hughton drew them well. I believe he drew them well.
Stay up?
Most probably, yeah. Probably stay up. Yeah.
But yeah, that game, like I say, nobody's going to be watching that. So, out of left field, the one I did not prep you on, James. This is the last topic of conversation. This can be as short or as long as we care to go on. How do you feel about retiring shirt numbers in football teams? Now, let me give you a couple of examples just to kind of get you ready. Cristiano Ronaldo finishes his career at Real Madrid. And Real Madrid decide to go, you know what? No player ever in the foreseeable future of Real Madrid is ever going to wear 7. We've retired the shirt. Barcelona, Messi finishes his career. They go, right, number 10, no one's ever going to wear 10 again. How do you feel about Arsenal? I mean, it's, you know, retiring. So it's Henry was 14.
Yeah.
Henry finishes his career at Arsenal.
Might as well retire there.
And you retire that shirt. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's okay or no?
I think it's good to honour players because people understand how influence a number is. When we think of a number, come on, Liverpool have the number 7. Not what was it? Is it the number 7?
They're big on the 9. They got Fowler and Torres and
Newcastle are big with their number 9s. The
Shearers, Cole.
And this and that. Manchester United number 7.
Yeah.
So
they haven't retired those shirts.
Would you consider retired? As in
no. As in no player gets that number
ever again. Again.
But my examples are the Ronaldos and the Messis, as opposed to just some guy who's done like Henry at Arsenal would be a good example of like he's
he's, for me, if you're looking at an odd number, then retire, right? Because yeah. not too many people are going to wear it. But obvious numbers like a number 10 or a number 7, I wouldn't really want... Again, we can find a way to dedicate that type of shirt to them, but an odd, like a number like a number 10, if you're, listen, if you're a player, you're going to... As much as Messi wore it, and the burden on the shoulders is going to be high, you would want the number 10 shirt. Because when... Listen, because... When I play football and I look at the shirt number, if I have my number 10 at the back or like my number 11 or like 14 or something like that, you grow into it. So it's a thing that should they retire it to certain instincts, but if a player would really want that shirt, I think it would be fair enough if they do.
They give it back.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you reckon?
It shouldn't happen, really. The only way I will retire a shirt if someone's passed away, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's okay. That's not. That's a good. I wasn't expecting that.
Plus, the symbol of the shirt is very vital.
Because they did that with who's the guy at Wolfsburg? Alvarez Balanta? No. Not him. There's a defender for a German team. Huh?
Junior Malanda.
That was it, Junior Malanda, yeah.
I might see it done with, is it Mark Vivian Foe?
Yeah, they
retired a number, shirt number for him. So it's stuff like that, I respect it, but stuff like the number.
Just
10,
how good you are.
Yeah. Just how good you are. It's just basically saying that no one's ever going to be as good as a player ever again.
But that's what I said.
You're basically denouncing every single player that comes off the
But player. I think the point is that players can come in and be good again, but just not wear that shirt number. They can wear 19 or 18 or 11 or... Sorry, no, you know what I mean.
Yeah. To an instinct, but again, for me, it's an odd... If you talk about an odd number, I do agree. But if you're looking at numbers that has always been synonymous with a certain position, and it's hard. Yeah. For instance, you go back to basketball, the number 23 is a very iconic shirt because Michael Jordan wore it.
Jordan, James.
Yeah. So it's kind of been retired in a way. And there's some basketball players who are very scared to wear, no matter what team you play for, to wear the number 3 shirt. So to an instinct, yes, but... If it's a very important number, I don't think it's going to make that much.
I think the reason I bring this up is because I read an article on Bleacher Report about it, and I found it really interesting. And the one point that because I thought, yeah, of course, Ronaldo in the 7, shit, yeah, you should do that. Messi in the 10, for sure, do that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. On the most part, I do agree with you. And other people can just get other numbers. For me, like, don't get me wrong, I know what you mean. I think I used to always wear number 6, and I used to put a couple extra pounds of muscle on me. I used to feel like a bit more of a bruiser out there. But the thing is, one thing that I looked at it from is it's the disrespect to the previous players who wore the number. Now, using those examples, Raul and the 7 shirt, Ronaldinho and the 10 shirt, you are. It, for me, maybe not directly, but you're indirectly disrespecting Ronaldinho, Raul, all these players who've shared the shirt before.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they are selfless enough to say, Ronaldinho comes out and says, oh, for sure, Messi, and I'm sure he would. For sure, Messi is the best of all time. But is Raul going to come out and say that Ronaldo's been that much better than him?
Well, going back to that Raul incident, you do realise that Ronaldo wore number 9 because he was probably told... Because just remember, Ronaldo's brand is CR7.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely would have spoke about that. Because he definitely would know, oh, Raul's there. And Raul's not going to want to give up his shirt. So he was definitely told at the time that, listen, you will get that shirt at the time. But you're going to have to wait a year. Because he did wear 9 for a whole year until he could get the 7 shirt. So yeah, to an instant, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I think that's pretty synonymous. I do like your point on... You know, if Pep passes away, I think that's a really good, respectful thing to do. I'm on board with that. Well, thank you very much for listening. It's been a long one. We're just approaching 1 hour 20 right now. Please be sure to give us a 5-star review and a subscribe on iTunes. Follow my guys here. Do you want to throw out some Instagrams and some Twitters again and some YouTubes as well?
Again, subscribe to my channel, King James, and go look at my show. No, that's a bit rude. Please go check out my show. Off topic. My Instagram is JimmyMac97, and I'm not going to give you my Snapchat or else you're a girl. So I'm out right now.
I ain't got a YouTube channel like that, but YouTube channels RimmerKing5675 on Instagrams _r.wenz.
Nice. So James, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you going through the power rankings with me. Rimmer, thanks for joining us for the Premier League fixtures review and returning the shirt numbers. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We're going to try and get some guests on consistently, maybe even these guys consistently on week by week. Thanks for listening. Give us a 5-star review and a subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.